Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with a big story of the day.
Hi, Troy, come here for a second. Come over here for a second, please. And then we don't have to go on and on about this, just wrap it up.
Yeah.
Were the Rockies a playoff team last year, according to you, Troy Rank?
Yes, there's two wild cards. They were one of them. They did not win the division. So if you don't, you then are in a one-game playoff game to get to the next round. It's built that way. It's a postseason thing. They have a day off before that game. They have media access. It's treated as the postseason.
Well, then you guys should send emails to MLB.com and to the Rockies website and get them correct.
I'm going to text them. I'm going to walk out here. I'm going to text them and ask them why it isn't referred to that way on their website. And the reason I say that, Chad, and I hate to bring up a thing that makes fun of them. Forever, you remember this, D-Mac, they used to have on their outfield wall 1995 wildcard champions.
Yes.
And they got made fun of relentlessly because, like, you're not a champion of the wild card. You made the playoffs, but you're not a champion. Made fun of. Last year absolutely was a playoff berth because we've talked about it at length. They've never been in the playoffs back-to-back years. That's why this year and this stretch is so important.
Again,
but they're absolutely a playoff team.
Go to the Rockies website. Look under the postseason record. 2017 is not listed at all. At all. Same on MLB.com. So, again, I think this is
the
probably
The Rockies
more,
just have a screw-up on their website.
I think Chad's trying to erase stuff from memory. Are you trying to, like, get the Neil O'Donnell thing?
No.
Evaporated from Pittsburgh Steelers history somehow? Is this some circular way?
Wait. It's funny. Number one, I was told I was crazy yesterday. The text line was wrong. I provide links. D-Mac looks at the links.
Yeah, as we were rocking out. It was a bad thing because the Rockies don't have it listed as
a playoff berth? Do we have their media guide here? The media guide would be where it'd be listed in postseason.
I don't think we have anything on paper here.
I'll look it up when I walk in. I'll call you
suddenly,
guys back or text you.
You guys are so protective of your thoughts that the websites are now wrong.
Now, that surprises me because they touted, again, their wild card championship for years on their own outfield wall. So the idea they would miss an opportunity to put 2017 wild card playoff berth, that shocks me for a team that rarely makes the postseason. Rarely.
Again, I think it's a very semantic type of argument, but, you know, I have to go with MLB.com. I've got to go with the Rockies' own website over you two clowns. Love you guys.
So you go up to Charlie Blackman and you tell him, oh, Charlie, you really weren't a playoff team. It wasn't a playoff game.
And you show him the link to his own team's website.
What does Charlie Blackman say to you?
He's going to be like, I lived it. I don't care. Like, I lived it. We were in the playoffs.
Okay. Right. And you know, that's fine. Everybody can have their own opinion. But as far as MLB.com and the Rockies' own website, they were not.
Yeah, they were secretly lowering expectations for this season. We weren't in the playoffs last year.
The Rockies
we're
website.
We're happy to be over 500 right at the All-Star break. We weren't a playoff team.
I'll give you that. The Rockies website, heads up, you know, whoever the 20-something is running the Rockies
I'll find out.
Thanks, Troy.
You got it. See you. Have a great show.
All right. By the way, I was at the Rockies game. So was Troy. I was a fan last night, Troy. Just bought tickets. Sat in the seats, paid for parking, the whole thing.
Woo, you
didn't use a pass? When was the last time you ever did that? When was the last time you actually went to a baseball game strictly and just were above board on everything?
I got to pay full retail now, like a two-bit chump.
3 years ago. Nothing. I didn't use my press credential. I didn't have it on me, or I would have.
They didn't recognize your face.
I know. All right, see ya. Get out of here.
Well, they lost again last night.
Oh, I know.
How was that to watch it in the stands?
Hard to watch. I mean, fun because the stadium's so wonderful to go to. Coors Field is great.
Right.
The parking and, you know, it's in the middle of a city. So just, you know.
You don't have a secret D-Max spot that you
My family logistically, it was, I don't want to rip on my own family necessarily, but. I'm not a last-minute guy, Chad, okay? And this was a last-minute decision to go to the game.
My wife!
Yeah, it's okay. My older son sort of sprung it on us that he was interested and was like, oh, okay. And so, anywho, we got there by the third inning. It's plenty fine. But it's tricky when you get down there and there's no parking or the parking's kind of expensive and long lines just to get in. The security measures just to get into the ballpark, Chad, are, I mean, it's like, wow. They are not taking any chances there. So you just got to have a lot of patience. But, you know, what's the rush? It's a baseball game. You know, I mean, you missed three innings. What'd you miss? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I love it when baseball guys admit things like that.
As long as the score is close by the time you walk in the door,
you're good.
Who cares?
Okay.
To keep it real. I mean, you know, how long you want to just sit there? I mean, I'm sitting there. I'm like, I get it why people think this is boring. But there's other elements to it that I'm amazed how good these players are. It kind of never ceases to amaze me how good they really are at all aspects of the game.
Oh, my
when they hit a ball, man, it is just, they just drill it almost every single time. And it's amazing how many hard hit balls there are. These guys are awesome. Defensively blows me away how good Major League Baseball players are. But you just take it for granted.
Are they natural athletes? Did it only take them a year to discover it? Did they pipe into some genetic gold mine or?
Hundreds of thousands of reps to get that good. There's no getting out of it.
Heading a soccer ball, that's just.
Yeah, heading a soccer ball, I could teach anybody. I saw somebody sent me a whole diatribe on Twitter about what an idiot I am about, you know, the amazing amount of skill it takes to head a soccer ball. I'm like, it just doesn't. There's other elements of soccer that are, you know, tricky to do, for sure. Heading a soccer ball on a corner kick is not one of them.
Okay.
There's other things. You know, we can, you know, discuss, I suppose, if we really had to. Let's not, but I mean, we could. I mean, to have the dexterity to dribble a soccer ball and keep control of it in tight situations takes just countless of hours of practice, skill, ability, fitness, training, immeasurable. Difficult to even categorize the amount of skill and practice that it takes to get there in terms of maintaining control of a soccer ball
those
and be able to
be really slippery,
distributing it wherever you want and the right touch and all that sort of stuff. The complexities of space in soccer, where to go, how to put it, how to deliver things, you know, the whole dealing with the offsides things in terms of teamwork and the back line and move, all that stuff is real high level stuff, okay? Running as fast as you can towards a soccer ball and hitting it off your head just is not one of those, you know, technical skills that takes a lot of work.
I would, again, respectfully disagree.
There you go.
There we go.
What happened today? The Croats, right?
Yes.
Croatia?
Croats.
The Croats? Way to go, Croats.
Not Chub, Chub, Chub.
Not Chub, Chub, Chub. Croats.
Yeah. In the final seconds of the World Cup semifinal, it's Marcus Rashford, the 20-year-old from Manchester, who stands over it. Should it chucker the referee? And all the eyes in the VAR room watching for the pushing and the shoving and the grabbing. This is probably the last chance for England in this World Cup. Rashford clipping it into the traffic. Header played out wide. Is there time enough to get it back? There's the final whistle. Croatia, the second smallest nation in history to make a World Cup final.
Way to go. I want to hear the goals. Hear how incredible the goals were. Here we go. Croatia.
Ivan Strinic. Back for Rakitic. Long switch to Veselko. Space and time to get this cross in. Perisic charging in! Croatia's tied the game! Ivan Perisic! All square in the semifinal!
It's pretty exciting.
Absolutely.
I'll definitely give you that. So it's a come-from-behind win, and then they go to extra time, and
Rakitic, Josip Pivarić, give him the space and time to play this in. Walker able to stab it up in the air. Trippier out duel by Perisic. Mandzukic got there and scored!
Very cool. Congratulations, Croatia. That's awesome. Too bad for England. There's probably more English fans, England fans here in Colorado than Croatian fans. That's just a guess on my part.
That's a fair guess.
But congratulations to Croatia. And best of luck against France. Who are you rooting for?
Croatia, the underdog.
Really?
Yeah. Because it's not, if it was, you know, some traditional World Cup power, you know, my philosophy is always, again, to try to root for the team that's the champion kind of thing. But occasionally in situations like this, no dog in a fight. I'll go for the underdog.
Who you, that's on Sunday, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that's cool. I don't know. I don't know why I'd root for either country, but, you know, they're the underdog, so go for it.
Best match of the weekend will be Saturday morning, though, the third place match.
No, it really won't be. It'll mean nothing. It'll be like a bowl game. Like one of those dumb bowl games that mean nothing, which are most of them. Do you get something for third place? Do you get a medal or something? Get to stand on a stand? Is there a financial incentive?
Third place champion.
Will there be a parade for whoever wins third place in their country? Will England have a parade if England beats whoever France beat? Who did French beat? Who did the French beat? See, Belgium, right.
It's called a Belgian dip. Line from Austin Powers.
We'll see what happens. Ole, 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 ole. Anyways, back to the Rockies game from last night. Did you watch any of the game?
Bits and pieces.
Between so yoga. Disappointing.
Dilly dilly.
Between yoga?
Well, after and
after yoga?
Yeah.
So disappointing. You know, the whole cliche is you win 60, you lose 60. What happens to those other 42?
Right.
You know, that sort of thing. I'm sorry, what's that Big Sexy?
Yeah, the third place country that wins World Cup gets $24 million. Fourth place gets $22 million.
What about teams one and two?
The runner-up gets $28 million and winners get $38
million. Nice.
How much do the players get? $24 million, is that distributed evenly amongst all the players? You know what? Who cares? We were moving on. We've moved on.
Thought you'd like to.
We have? There's still soccer to be played.
You know,
How are we moving on?
There's a difference of $2 million spread out between, you know, a bunch of people.
No, there's $10 million extra for the winner.
No, from third place to fourth place. It's one gets $22 million or right. $24 million, one gets $22
million. Right.
Third, second place gets $28 million. First, there's a big difference between first and second place.
Correct.
Yeah. Where was I? You're throwing me off here.
You're talking about the Rockies.
Yeah.
And how disappointed you were.
Yeah.
You've got to trust the organization.
So Tyler Anderson pitched great, but the one thing he did is he got himself in trouble, Chad. And after six innings, he had thrown like 108 pitches.
Mm-hmm.
And twice he had put the leadoff hitter on base. In fact, one inning he had runners on first and second. Gosh, the bases may have been loaded, and he struck out the side, which is awesome. And there was another inning where he let the leadoff guy get on, and he got out of that inning. In baseball, if you let the leadoff guy get on, 6 out of 10 times, that guy's going to score. I don't know that the exact percentages of it, but it goes way up compared to getting the first batter out and then, you know, the second guy gets on. Getting the leadoff guy on should, in most cases, lead to a run by hook or by crook. Never mind getting a guy to second base with no outs, and never mind a guy on third base with no outs should score 90% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyler Anderson got himself out of a couple jams and only gave up one run, and it was great. But the problem was because he got in those jams, Chad, he ended up throwing quite a few pitches. So he was over 100 pitches through six innings. So what do? You leave him in the game to throw, what, 120 pitches? I guess you could. Maybe he should have. But they took him out and they put in Jake McGee.
Mm-hmm. And the predictable results followed.
Here's what is just absolutely, positively, un forgivable if you are a relief pitcher coming in. Whatever you do, you can't walk the first guy. I mean, you have time to warm up. You are a professional baseball pitcher. You cannot. You could give up. It's more acceptable to give up a home run rather than walk the first guy. Walking the first guy is just, I can't even tell you how, what a choke job that is by whoever that relief pitcher is. And after the game, I heard Sandy. Sandy's great, by the way. I love listening to Sandy after games. And he's talking about how Jake McGee said, well, I only threw one bad pitch. Yeah, I gave up a home run that was hit like 700 feet. But no, Jake, that's not true. You had a bunch of bad pitches, and that's why you put a guy on first base.
Talk to me about the bullpen procedure. Jake McGee, when does he start warming up? When does he know he's going in? What happens?
He's got to prepare every day like he's going to pitch.
Right, but I'm talking about specifically for the game last night. Give me the scenario.
Seventh inning. Things are cruising along. He almost went in the sixth inning.
Right.
Because Anderson got in a little bit of trouble. McGee got up to warm up.
So when did he start warming up?
I don't know. A half hour before he went into the game.
Okay.
It wasn't a rush job or anything.
Mm-hmm.
He had plenty of time to get ready. No rushing at all. This isn't Little League where they wave the guy, Timmy, you're done. Jimmy, come here from third base, and now you're pitching, and Timmy, go to third. It's not like that.
How many pitches do you get in Little League or high school baseball to get your pitcher warmed up?
It depends on the pitcher.
Okay.
It all depends on who the person is, and that's what they have to know that themselves. They have to. I knew one kid. He needed a lot. He really needed to throw a lot. I've known other kids who barely needed anything.
What's a lot?
This one kid needed like 40 pitches just to feel like good to go. So he took a long time to warm up. Yeah.
And what is a high school?
So I usually, when I was like, you know, coach, he always was a starter for me. I couldn't put him in at relief because he took forever. And mm-hmm. and he didn't throw enough strikes early enough. But he had the ability. He was one of these hit or miss kids. Like, he would walk a kid, but then he might strike out the next two. You know, it was kind of like that. Even mm-hmm. if he got a guy on second base, you know, he's got the ability to strike guys out. That's what Tyler Anderson did. So, you can walk a guy, I guess, if you've got the engine to strike the next dude out. The next dude hitting off McGee was hitting like, I don't know, like a buck 40. And, you know, kind of loops one into the left field corner. It's a double. Now runners on second, third. And then Peralta gets up. I mean, this dude freaking unloaded.
Uncorked.
I mean, did you see at least that highlight?
Yes.
I mean, dude, it was redonkulous.
Bombed it.
Bombed it. I mean, freaking. I think Cargo was playing left field at the time. He gave it that cursory sort of look, and then I was like, oh, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, it was ridiculous. And McGee comes off the mound, and everybody's rightfully booing, and, you know, and then all of a sudden you're down. You're down by, well, you're up 2-1. Now you're down, what, 4-2? And then they give up another home run.
Yeah.
So now you're down 5-2, and Tyler Anderson, your great game is gone.
But when Tyler Anderson left
the mound.
It wasn't just
that the bullpen like gave up the lead. Okay, you're playing major league players. Things can happen. It was like the way they gave it up. It was like the way McGee gave it up. I mean, a freaking walk, a double to a guy who's barely, you know, he's not even batting his weight. And then, then you're desperate, right? Because you can't pitch. I can't throw strikes. I just let up a double. So I guess I'm just going to throw the ball, you know, more or less right down the middle because I'm afraid to really pitch.
What do you think was going to happen when he came in the game? Were you confident?
I'm always optimistic. I always
confident.
Yeah, I on the surface, I like Jake McGee.
Were his teammates confident when he walked up to
the
mound?
You know, Jake McGee was even though he was on the Rockies, he was a free agent signing.
Right, but were his teammates
confident? They chose
confident
to bring him back.
When he was on the mound.
I don't know. Yeah, sure. I don't know. Got me. I didn't go to the clubhouse after the game.
Well, I'm just, you know, just for me.
I don't know the team well enough to know, to be quite honest with you. Troy would be a better guy on that than me. I don't know.
I'm going to say no.
Well, I don't, you know.
And I'm not going on a limb there. Obviously, the bullpen's been disappointing all year long. But I think, you know, the confidence is lost is my greater point. We are in it. And then our bull comes in to play. And now it's a crapshoot. And most likely we're going to lose that crapshoot.
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe?
It's disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
And what a night, man. Dodgers lost. You know, it would be great to beat the Diamondbacks. And the Giants lost. You got to circle that one last night, man. You had the lead going into the seventh inning. It's a home game. It's against a division opponent currently in first place. You really need to win. And you blew it. Circle that one. And hopefully they come back tonight and they beat the Diamondbacks by 10 and whatever. Nolan had a double and a home run. So I guess he was, what, 2 for 5, something like that. And then there was another situation where they had a runner on third base and Iannetta comes up. And you got to hit the ball in the air, man. You got to drive that run in. And he just, like, pops it to right field. Not deep enough to really have the guy tag. It's not a very professional at bat. You got to hit the ball the other way on the ground, or you got to just get it in the air for a sacrifice fly. There's one out. You got a runner on third. It's like the eighth inning. You got to come through. And he didn't. And that's the difference, man. That's the difference between good teams and great teams. We were kind of talking about that yesterday. Can you do the little things that provide runs? And early in that at-bat, he had a pitch to hit, and he just didn't. He had a pitch early in that at-bat, Iannetta specifically, and he fouled it off, and he had a pitch to drive, and he didn't do it. You don't have to be a superstar. I'm not asking him to hit a home run. I'm asking him to do a baseball thing, drive a run in. You can put the ball on the ground to the right side, or you can drive the ball in the air. The infield was playing like halfway, so they were somewhat surrendering them. But everybody's just trying to hit home runs, Chad. Everybody's just trying to, you know,
we talked about
hit the three-run homer rather than just drive the run in.
Yeah, a few times ago when I filled in for Al, how baseball has changed, and it's just power angles and launch speeds and home runs.
Frustrating. So they lost, and they get at it again tonight, and you just hate to ruin really good starting pitching at Coors Field. So I don't mean to bum everybody out. We had a great night at the ballpark. It's no joke. It's so fun to go to.
A night at the ballpark is always fantastic.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. Sat up there and had good seats, could see a nice, you know, like recycling fire off in the distance. had this guy. You ever had this guy at the ballpark, the technology guy? You ever have a technology guy? Technology guy is a guy who lives in Lodo or somewhere downtown, so he's very pale. He's wicked underweight. He's got a girlfriend whose skin is translucent. And you really look at him and you're like, why are you even here? Like, there is no way you like baseball. And sure enough, this guy is on his phone nonstop. Like, you wouldn't even know why the guy's at the baseball game. And he's a technology guy, just wants to brag to you about how he used technology to somehow get in the same more or less seats you're existing in. And can't wait to show you his phone, show you his app, show you, like, his free coupon thing and how he got here and there and the other thing. Can't wait to tell you all about it. And then he turns and talks to the woman in front, and he's telling her all about him, showing him, you know, his phone. And that's technology guy.
I don't know that guy.
You don't know technology. You don't know technology guy in the game.
I haven't experienced the technology guy.
Oh my god, he's so annoying.
I thought you were going like down the path of like in the '70s, the guy who had the headphones on with the giant antenna on one side.
That's not a technology guy.
And the old black and white TV in his hand.
That's technology to you? Well, no. Technology guy in lower downtown is somebody that always knows a better way to do normal things. He knows how to get. You know, he can, like, order food from a food truck, you know, on his phone and have it ready to be delivered to his seats at the ballpark or some sort of crap.
Gotcha.
He's okay. Technology guy.
All right.
There's always some sort of Groupon, coupon, Newpon, Loupon sort of deal with technology guy.
Okay.
And he can't get off his phone during a game. He's just on his phone doing something the entire game.
He's ordering food.
Who knows what he's doing?
He's getting a massage sent to his seat.
Right.
He's got a pedicure lined up for the seventh inning stretch.
Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
He's a technology guy. God. Then there's of course, funny guy sitting with friends guy. Funny guy.
Life of the party guy.
Life of the party guy.
Yes.
You know.
Everyone look at me.
Everyone look at me. Strike! Ball! You know.
Yeah.
Nice play! That guy. Right? got to be a seat or two behind you, and everything's got to be super loud. Just everything. Even though you're sitting where nobody could really hear you, because he's really trying to entertain like the four or five friends. But he's how he's entertaining them is screaming at the top of his lungs in your ear. And what are you supposed to do? Do you really turn around and tell him not to have a good time and, you know, shut up and whatever? Because, you know, he's just that's that guy.
Stay off my lawn.
You got to lean back and kind of look over your shoulder and just give him a couple of glances like, hey, man, you want to keep it nice and soft. You're not trying to get into a fight. Just, hey, man, respect my space.
Yeah.
That's all we're looking for here.
Shut up!
Yeah. Then there's talking nonstop about anything but the game guy. You ever hear this guy at a sporting event?
That's my son. I love him.
These guys like sit right behind you, and they are just talking nonstop about anything and everything you can imagine, but it's got nothing to do with the game itself.
It's a night at the ballpark. Baseball is not that engrossing.
So everybody has to hear your conversation about your day trading nonstop for 3 full hours.
I've been to a couple Nuggets games this year, and unfortunately, those guys were behind me a few times.
I mean, at some point, don't you want to just turn around and guess, guys, do you want to watch the game? I mean, you know, here's my perfect fan to be around. They've got something to say every now and then about the game itself or simple little things, you know, that they conversate about. But more or less, it's in nature of everything that's going on. Is that really so hard?
No, I like a neighborly neighbor in the stands. So they overhear me asking a question about something in a very polite way. They'll say, hey,
yeah.
I got an answer for you. Blah, 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 blah. And I'll tell you the answer. You're like, oh, that's super awesome. Thanks, man.
Yeah,
appreciate that.
Yeah.
And at some point, you know, the vendor comes along. He passes you the change or the peanuts. It's just a nice neighborly guy. That's all I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Be helpful when I need some help.
Anyways, night at the ballpark.
Yes.
All right, Big Three's next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three, presented by Sam's Number 3 Diner and Bar.
All right, here we go, here we go, here we go. LeSean McCoy. Chad, it does appear that this reeks of McCoy hiring somebody to mess up his girl.
It seems that way. It does.
I guess, reserve final judgment until it's all said and done, but everything would sort of lead me down that path. What do you think?
It seems that way. You know, he claims to have, not seen her in months. Well, that's certainly possible, but you also can use your money and influence to get people to go show up at her house. And that's what the accusation is, if I'm not correct, that goons showed up, armed guys, goons, showed up at her house, beat her, and demanded the jewelry that LeSean gave her, which just lends more credibility to her and her friend's story about what Shady set up for her.
Bongos.
Three!
Tim Tebow.
Hey.
Timmy. He will be inducted into University of Florida's Ring of Honor.
Good for him.
During the LSU game this November.
Well deserved.
Timmy.
That's what your question about it.
My question is, now the shine has come off Tim's NFL football career. Wheels came off of it, essentially. Does he still have beloved back at the University of Florida?
Oh, my God, of course. He won a national championship there.
Okay.
Yeah, no. What do you mean? There's no shine that comes off Timmy and Florida. He's a hero there forever.
Okay.
They're going to build a statue of Timmy. He won a Heisman. He won a national championship.
Thank you so much. God bless y'all.
Was it two national championships or?
He was a part of two.
Yeah, man. No, Timmy's the real deal. No doubt. Bongos.
Three.
Pac-Man Jones was attacked at an airport. by an employee, and apparently it's all on the employee. It's not on Pac-Man Jones. What do you think about Pac-Man's problems at the airport?
I've seen the video. Pac-Man gets a good punch in, knocks dude out. The guy has been charged, arrested, and fired.
This has nothing to do with Pac-Man.
There was some kind of verbal thing going on with this employee and Pac-Man, and this employee seemed to be the instigator of such.
Mm-hmm.
There was maybe a little push and shove. It's kind of hard to tell from the, you know, cell phone video clip that I saw. But Pac-Man defends himself, knocks a much bigger man out. And it's funny because, you know, whoever the female friend that Pac-Man is
Jeez.
With, it just keeps going at him and trying to back him up. And this guy keeps antagonizing
him. That's wild, man.
And Pac-Man drops him with a hammer punch to the forehead kind of thing. It's pretty quick. You might miss it.
Okay.
You know, when I first heard the news, you can't help but think of Pac-Man, guy gets shot in a strip club.
Right.
All the other
you want me in the strip club. Right. I was like, well, I don't think nothing wrong with going to the strip club.
No, you got that, Pac-Man.
All the other Pac-Man stories along the years. In this case, he seems to have been justified in knocking the dude out.
Three.
Brandon Browner. Kellen Winslow. Pac-Man, what's up with X? Former NFL players, free agent players, unable to stay out of trouble.
Well, I don't know. You tell me.
You're
part of the crew. I don't know.
I'm asking you.
I have no idea. I've flown a lot. I've never been attacked at the airport. I mean, you know, I was at the ballpark last night. Hey, D-Mac, this, that, and the other thing. I felt no need to actually get into some sort of physical confrontation with anybody. No, nobody's, you know, I don't know. I don't know what happens. Got me. How do we live our lives every day and not get into fights at airports and, you know, at Starbucks and in other places? Well, I don't know. Big Sexy, did you get in a fight today? Did you go anywhere today?
No, just to work.
Just to work?
Yeah,
did you get in a fight at work? Did the Strawberry Man throw down with anybody today when he was out and about and his variety of jobs? No? He looks okay? I don't know, Chad.
My last non-football field fight was literally like in elementary school. Seen other fights, you know, been in a push and shoving match.
I don't know why and how it happened.
It is fascinating to me, the inability to control yourself from a violence perspective. Bongos.
Three!
I mean, it's probably a deeper question about head injury, mental thought process.
I was trying to set you up to go
there.
How
can I say definitively that's it?
Well,
I mean, it might be if you have poor judgment, I guess, because you've been banged in the head so many times.
How many times do we talk about how hard it is for a lot of these ex-players to not have the beck and calls of a masseuse to come and massage you when you're sore, or to have the beck and calls where you can go and get free food and everything like that?
Right.
And you're at the end of your career, or you're having all of these things taken away from you, and you're getting back into real life, and it's tough.
Maybe. All right, I got a kind of an interesting example for you. I got an interesting example for you on that. We'll get there, and your calls are coming up next.
It's The Drive with Big Alan D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
You know, I was thinking about, we were speculating, why do these players get themselves in so much trouble? And maybe it's the adjustment into real life that they just can't handle. I don't know. You could be right on that. Like, Pac-Man Jones gets assaulted at an airport.
Yep.
Oh, when you're traveling with the pro team, you're not really dealing with airports. And if you've got a lot of money, you're just at private airports. You're not, you know.
Yeah, on the flip side of that coin, it actually is a downtime in league. So all of these players could be walking through an airport in any given time.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. You're in the real world. You know, you're not used to the real world sort of circumstances. I don't know. So I think I got an injury on my knee. I think I've got perhaps. We'll find out for sure tomorrow because I have an MRI, but I think I have a torn meniscus. Is that an MCL? Right?
No.
That's not an MCL? It's
MCL
different.
is your medial collateral ligament.
Oh, okay. So that's worse.
That's on the inside part of your knee, and that controls your knee. Like, if you were to get on the outside of your knee,
yeah,
and your knee were to buckle towards the inside,
yeah,
that's what you would tear. Your meniscus is the cushioning in your knee between the top part and the bottom part of your knee.
Gotcha. That's what it is.
So
yeah.
You tore your meniscus and it creates some pain and some inflammation in there. And then
yeah,
they can go in there arthroscopically and clean that bad boy out.
Okay. Looks like that's what, I should find out the news tomorrow. But I was thinking like, no, it's not. So I'm going through this process, right? First of all, I got hurt. And then you kind of going to go, oh, geez, what do I do? Do we go to the hospital or not? And then you think about your health care coverage and your deductibles and, you know, what should we do? And at the end, I was in a lot of pain. I did go to the ER to get it checked out. And they were like, it's probably this.
The ER?
Well, I was on the road. I was in, California.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
Where am I supposed to go?
So you went to the ER.
Well, I didn't know what it was at the time.
Out of the coverage zone. It's like an $8,000 visit, man.
Well, it's stuff like that. You start worrying. Fortunately, we're working at a great company. And we're very fortunate to have good health coverage.
You're about
here.
To find out. I can tell you that. But your out-of-state ER visit, those are never cheap, man.
Well, I was in some pain.
Apparently so.
I mean, I could
Eight
not.
$8,000 worth of pain.
Well,
you're about to find
all right,
out.
Just stop. Anyways, uh-huh. You go there. I'm sure that might be an issue. And then they're like, well, you really got to do something else when you get back home. We're like, yeah, I figured that. You know, then you feel stupid. Like, well, you know, maybe I wasn't really that hurt. And, you know, I'm like Garrett Bowles getting carted off crying, and I'm really not that bad. But I was on crutches for,
giving the crowd a thumbs up. I'll be back.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll be back.
I'll survive. I'll be there for you. So... anyways, it's been quite a few days,
uh-huh.
And they said, just give it some time. Finally, I went and got checked out today, and I got to make an appointment. You got to call your doctor, then you got to get a reference, and then you got to make an appointment. Of course, you don't get your appointment right away. You got to wait a couple days to get your appointment, and then you can't just get the MRI right then and there. You got to, we got to call the place. The place got to call you, set something up, and it's relatively quick. I'm getting it tomorrow. But, you know, it's all taking, like, since the point of the injury to now has been, like, 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been quite a time. Well, when you're a professional athlete, you got an injury. It's like, I mean, you come off the field, the doctor's right there, the MRI machine's right there, everybody's right there. I mean, everything is like right there for you.
It's awesome.
Right?
It is so awesome.
And you're not
awesome.
Paying for anything.
No.
You're going to find out exactly what's going on. Well, and it's kind of like whether you believe the team doctors or not. I know that can be a bit of an issue, right? Like, do I believe this guy or not?
Occasionally, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but more or less, all your needs are filled.
Yeah.
Health-wise, instantly.
It's pretty amazing.
Like, Alice told me stories like, you should never call in sick. Because the best place to be if you're sick probably is at the team facility.
This is true.
Where they can take care of you, and they can give you medicine, and they can hydrate you, and they can, you know, recoup you or whatever. I mean, you're probably better off just going there than lying around in bed.
Yeah, I've spent days in the training room and, you know, in a back training room, all dark, sleeping, and someone comes and gives me an IV every 2 hours.
You're going to feel better than if you were sniffling, throwing tissues on your bedroom floor, right?
Right, right. We got
you're a game. In a healthier situation.
We got a game in 2 days, Chad. We got to get you ready.
Yeah, Al talks about, like, you know, the story about, like, Dale Carter calling in sick. You know, everybody rolls their eyes. Like, there's no reason to ever do that.
Right.
Nor do you ever have to go anywhere nowadays to eat.
No.
You can eat every single meal at the facility.
Every team has a nutritionist and a chef, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and snack during training camp. The amount of the difficulty I had in not gaining 30 pounds when I did my internships. Like, you know,
stunning, right?
The first couple days, it's like, oh, man, there's a whole trough of bacon.
Right.
I should eat 10 pieces. And then, like, week two, you're like, I just can't sustain this. So then you try and limit just one piece of bacon.
Right.
One piece of sausage.
Right.
A cup of fruit and some oatmeal. Because, yeah, in the first week, I gained, like, 12 pounds.
Now let's talk about working out. It's all there.
Everything's
right?
There.
Everything you can imagine is there if you want to work
underwater
out.
Underwater treadmills.
Shower facilities? Of course. Yeah.
Clothes.
Free clothes. Clothes all over the place, right?
They'll pick up your dry cleaning for you. Get it delivered for you.
You doing any of your own laundry?
You can if you want, but you shouldn't because they do it free at the team.
Do it free for you there.
They show up and wash your cars during practice.
They wash your cars during practice.
You got to pay for it, but they wash your cars during practice. You show up after practice, your car is beautiful.
You could see where you could get used to that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Why do you think I love this internship thing? You mean somebody's going to put me in a hotel, pay all my hotel bills, give me free movies, feed me, clothe me,
all
for 6 weeks, and all I got to do is go to practice and yell at players every once in a while?
Right.
I'm in. Count me in.
Count me in. So is there a problem re-entering society?
Yeah.
Maybe.
It should be. The transition is tough, and I think it's due to all these services we just went kind of ran down at the team facilities, it's become even tougher to make the transition to normal life for most players.
Yeah.
Yeah. That still has got, in my mind, that's got nothing to do.
When did you realize you were really done playing? Like, what was your I'm in the real world moment? There had to be something when you were done that was just like, wow.
Now, I always had a
here foot. I am with the regular people.
I always had a foot in the real world. You know, my reptile business, I wasn't, you know, hiring, you know, guys who had worked at the zoo for 30 years and were some type of reptile scientist.
Mm-hmm.
I had to hire people who were willing to clean poop every day for a living. So that's pretty real world stuff.
I'm not talking about like you're at the supermarket or you're you know, at the airport or there's something that you're doing that you just had not done in forever. Never mind owning your own business. There had to be something just in life that you just hadn't really done all that much of.
No, I
you felt like a regular person?
Even as
like you go to like 24-hour fitness?
No,
like,
I would never do that. I got a gym in my basement. I would never do that.
Okay.
But
well,
like,
you see where I'm going, man.
I see where you're going, but I really try to keep myself as real world as possible. For a long time, my agent had a secretary who would schedule, who would do your airplane travel for you and book hotels and rental cars.
After you were done?
Yeah. I didn't use any of that even when I played because I wanted to keep pretty grounded in the real world. So
okay.
If you constantly have people who do things for you all the time.
You try to be self-sufficient.
I did not want to leave. I knew the transition leaving the game was going to be difficult no matter what. I played a game since I was 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So just the emotional part of that is going to be difficult. And then you couple that with the financial differences and now the incredible lifestyle differences, the things I have to do and take care of for myself. That only makes that transition that much more difficult. So why not give yourself a leg up and try to do as much as you can for yourself while you're playing?
Well said. Okay, the tricky case of Shady McCoy. Get ready for this. Football at 4 is next.